Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio X, where we are live from the Business Radio X studio in the East Valley and brought to you by the women who lived it. I'm your host, Joanne Holland, along with my co-host, Karen Nowicki. We have two amazing women with us today, Karen, and I'm going to let them start off by introducing themselves and sharing a little bit about themselves. And I'll start off with you, Latasha.
Hi, thank you, Joanne, so much. Thanks for having me. I am Latasha Causey. I am so glad to be here. I am a Phoenix native and I'm so excited to talk about all things women.
Great.
Great. My name is Jenny Holzman-Tatro, and I am also really excited to be here today. I am not a Phoenix native. And so although I've lived in the Valley since going to school at Arizona State University, I feel like I've become part of the community. And so I'm thrilled about having an opportunity to discuss a little more about what makes us tick today.
Oh, that's great. So maybe let's start off with that. Is what your passions, what you got involved in. Before we talk about career, let's talk about our community involvement today. So Jenny, if you want to, I know you have a few organizations that you are passionate about, and if you want to share, I know you and Latasha share a couple of those as well. So if you want to start off and just share those with us.
Sure. So when I originally moved to Arizona, I came here from New York and I didn't know a lot of people. And so found that being involved in the community was the best way for me to become embedded and make friends and think outside the box in terms of what I have been comfortable with previously. And so I sort of got involved in anything and everything. And when I came to Arizona State University as sort of my second job, really found the opportunity to become involved in education issues in the community and loved that. And so after I had children, so I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old who are keeping me very busy. And so everything that I do in the community really relates to things that would impact them as a child or their peers in the community. So really focused on, again, children's educational issues, a lot of hunger-based issues. So Latasha and I work on some United Way efforts, which we'll talk about today, things with the Girl Scouts or women's empowerment, and also leadership issues.
Oh, great. And besides United Way, Valley Leadership?
Oh, yes. We love Valley Leadership. And it was a great way, again, to really become embedded in the community and what was important, the issues that were facing us. And again, not originally being from here, being out of state for a period of time and coming back and really jumping into Valley Leadership shortly after returning to the Valley from New York allowed me a really great insight into things that were pressing here that needed hands-on leadership and needed people to embed and engage. And they were looking for hand raisers. And so that really opened up the door for me to become involved in many, many things in the community. So I really attribute Valley Leadership to providing the inspiration and really opening the door for me to invest my time and my resources into the community to make Arizona a really great place.
And your class number?
I am class 31, okay. A very proud class member.
I was going to say, each class I know is there. And if you'd share a little bit too, your role as past chair of Valley Leadership, is tell us and share too with our listeners what they do, what their mission is.
Sure. So Valley Leadership is a convening group of leaders in the community who really try to identify those pressing issues as raised by CEOs and business leaders in the community, as well as nonprofit and entrepreneurs, as to things that really are pressing in the Valley. So from ranging to energy issues, water issues, economic, climate issues, the group comes together once a month to identify speakers who can lead or at least have a conversation about that particular issue. And then there's an opportunity for leadership development so that folks can jump into those issues as they're raised and people hopefully become interested in them. There's a class project at the end of the year where folks, again, tackle an issue that may be facing the community and find out how to work with each other and how to create resources so that a particular issue can be tackled. Latasha was recently in the class, so I know she can talk a little bit more about her experience. But serving as the chair of the group, I think I served on the board for 7 years. And in my role as the chair, we had an incredible opportunity to enhance the leadership of the program. So really thinking about how do you create leadership opportunities? How, I mean, they're leaders. The folks who are in the class are leaders. So we're trying to create the leaders of leaders, which is no small task for sure. And so really thinking about what do we need to do to enhance the lives of the men and women in the class to become, again, these change agents in the community, to have them raise their hands and to be able to invest their time in Arizona. And we also, during my tenure, was able to focus on the past. So Valley Leadership is over 40 years old. So we spent a lot of time thinking about our past and where we came from and then where we want our future to be. And to that end, hired a CEO at the end of my tenure who's brought incredible vision and what we call a pivot to the organization where they're invested in solutions. So it isn't just talking anymore and becoming sort of educated on an issue, but it's really figuring out what do we do in order to make sustainable change.
Great. And Latasha, besides being a recent graduate of Valley Leadership, I know there are many in the Valley who have been part of it. Former Ambassador Barbara Barrett, former Phoenix Mayor, even though when he yells his class 9 out, no one claps because he says, I'm the only one left. Greg Stanton, as well as some city councilmen from not only just the city of Phoenix, but other Valley-wide cities also have been engaged. So, Latasha, from your experience, I know Valley Leadership is just one of those passions. I know you have others, but let's start with that one on your recent graduation and the opportunities you had.
Absolutely. So VL 39. So, you know, usually there's a tagline that says best class ever. The experience from Valley Leadership, honestly, Joanne, is just unmatched. Jenny talked about all of the great things from a community aspect, and you do walk away with that. So no matter if Mayor Stan was part of 9 or 39, the evolution of Valley Leadership has remained the same, which is to give back to the community, which is to do something major for the community and have some sustainable change. But the other piece of that is the people. The Valley Leadership Network is unmatched. From the speakers that come out on their knowledge of our community to the 50 or so people that you meet within your class that ultimately become like family is something that you truly walk away with. And then Jenny mentioned the Alumni Association. They become your family too. You know, they're like the cousins. But your class is like the brothers and sisters there. And you all know that you are coming together for, a common good. And it is a recognized program. You know, I received a congratulations note when I was accepted from Dr. Crow. So being as well an ASU alum, and that's special, right? I mean, I know he signed it. It was real ink on the...
Isn't it funny how we look at that?
Yeah, it was real ink on that letter. So it means something to be part of Valley Leadership.
Yeah. And just to share, I participated in a very similar program in Detroit. Under New Detroit. However, I was very privileged back in 2010 to be one of the class teachers, I guess, say, of one of the Valley Leadership's class. So it was a really neat experience. So I agree that those connections, those friendships, those opportunities you get, as well as the philanthropic part of Valley Leadership to give back, I think is so important. You hit that right on the nail, Latasha. What are some of the other organizations, Latasha, that you're a part of that are very passionate to what you do and who you are?
Yes. You know, as I mentioned in the beginning, being a Phoenix native, I'm from the west side of Phoenix. Not until I went to ASU Tempe main campus did I really realize that there was so much more to Arizona than the west side. And so that opportunity for my education is really what gave me the opportunities that I have had in my career, personally, professionally. And so the main thing for me is education. So I am on the Teach for America board, is one of the boards I'm on. I am as well, as Jenny mentioned, the co-chair with Valley of the Sun United Way, Women United. Jenny and I both just joined the Florence Crittenton board as well, which you know that is all things pertaining to girls and as well as education. And so anything that pertains to education, children and women. Those are the things that I fight for, and those are the things that I'm passionate about. I'm really not a quiet person. And so if I can be that person to advocate for someone that's not advocating for themselves, then I will.
Oh, we'll have to remember that. I'll have to remember that to have you come speak at some of the fun city council meetings.
Yay!
That are always great to speak at. You know, it's so funny, the evolution of the Valley of the Sun United Way. So when I was a member, it was Women's Leadership Council.
That's right.
actually was one of their featured speakers, I think 5 years ago, for Women's Leadership Council.
I remember. I was there.
When they were free. Yeah. No fun. But I attended your lunch and have attended the lunches the last several years since you launched the first Women's United event and bringing in the main speakers and seeing such amazing women sharing their stories to our community. So thank you. Thank you both for what you do and for helping women and seeing a different side and being their voice sometimes when they can't be their voice for them.
Yes, thank you for your support.
No, it's what all of you do. And Karen, you have a passion for education. So share with them what you do and, sure. and have done with the in education.
Sure. So my first career was in the Kyrene School District as not only a third grade teacher, but an assistant principal. And then from there, I went on to be the vice president for Pinnacle Education, which served the population of high school kids who couldn't quite make it or chose not to be involved in a campus life. So they did the online schooling back in the day when that was being developed. So I was responsible for the 8 campuses across the state for those kids who had an online education, but also still needed a proctor and a guide in the room. And then found my way through an Intel and school partnership at the Kyrene School District. And they're still very active. It's Intel donated the land to Kyrene in one of their Chandler schools. And now I serve on the board for Treasures for Teachers, which is just down the street from here. And so like you, very passionate about education and obviously making a difference on behalf of our kids. I'm curious, as we, and this is really a conversation for all of us, with as heavily as involved as we all are in helping women develop as leaders and really giving kids the right education and the right start towards leadership and just a good life, where do you think we still have a long way to go? Can we talk about that for a few moments? Like, I know where I focus my attention. I'm curious about, you know, what you're passionate about as it relates to that. What's next for us? What do we have to continue to do to improve?
Latasha, we'll kick off with you. I mean, you from the Teacher for America board as well as your own experience.
Yeah, you know, I think we just have the awareness opportunity. There are so many educational opportunities. There are so many things out there for our students and for our families, and they honestly don't know. You know, I was fortunate enough that both of my parents, they were very active, very engaged in my education. Education was the only option for me. And so I always took those, you know, so I went to Maricopa County Community Colleges when I was a sophomore in high school. So by the time I started at ASU, I was already ahead as a freshman, but I wouldn't have known about those opportunities, right? If my parents weren't involved and if the counselor honestly didn't come to my school, and I took that opportunity. Today, you know, kids are so focused on, you know, social and so focused on everything else, but they forget about their education. So just being aware of the programs and the things that are going on, we focus everything that we can on the negative side, right? Well, we're not an A-plus school, you know, state. We're not all of these things about education that's horrible are the things that we focus on, but we forget to focus on, okay, well, what about all the scholarship money that's out there? Or what about you can get a head start on your education? So all of those types of things, and it doesn't matter your background. It's just awareness.
Awareness and willingness to ask for help, I think, is the other piece of it that I find, right? So we have internet at our disposal through handhelds and computers. So the information is there and the opportunities are there. But if we're unwilling to step into our power as individuals and say, I need to learn this, have that insatiable appetite to learn, and then ultimately say, I need your help, then yeah, we continue to be stuck. I love the shift that you talked about too, around focusing on all the negative in our state with education. There are so many things to celebrate.
Oh, absolutely.
And what we focus on, we get more of. So if we're focusing on, you know, the crap in life, guess what we're going to get more of? Yep. We're going to get more crap. If we focus on what's going well and continue to put our energy in that area, we're going to continue to see success and things moving in that direction. How about for you? What do you think, Jenny?
Yeah, no, I agree with everything that's been said. And I think for us and even really our family, it's about trying to inspire curiosity and trying to inspire opportunities and experiences for our kids. And so we try to serve as role models for them, right? We get out of our house. We step away from the TVs. We go out of town if it makes sense to do that. We're at the library. We're taking advantage of hiking. We're really just trying to learn. And so when we think about how to help educate kids, I think some of the things away from school would help us be able to create an environment where we're having kids be really excited about life and being curious and asking questions and finding new things. And so that's where I spend a lot of my time, is trying to create opportunities for kids to experience that. So if it's raising money for the Children's Museum so that kids can come and play and explore, if it's raising money to support girls and Girl Scout troops so that they can experience a troop atmosphere, our environment, that's what I want to do with my time. And to your point, it is about finding people who will raise their hand mm-hmm. and volunteer and spend time with kids who really need it. I tell this great story. Well, maybe I just think it's great, but I tell a story about reading at UMOM. And so they have family members and community members can come in and read to kids who don't have potentially the same opportunities to have books read to them sort of on a broader based level. And so you can go and stand there and the kids will come into the room and then they'll pick you. And I never get pegged, but I always grab the one little kid who looks like he'd be fun or she'd be fun to play with. And I force myself to read with them because it's a great opportunity and a good reminder that everyone can use a little love.
Right. No, I agree wholeheartedly with everything that's been said. And from my perspective, what I always like to leave the message with, whether it's a student, a woman, is self-knowledge is the greatest gift we can give to ourselves.
Absolutely.
And I'm not just talking about academia. Mm-hmm. I mean, self-knowledge in anything and everything. You don't have to be the expert in it. Just have knowledge of it. Understand it. And that's it. The second thing in the classroom, and just so you know, I did want to be a teacher and then found out what they made mm-hmm. and said, no, thank you, while I was in college. Mm-hmm. However, said I still had the spark for it. So for 14 years, I taught religious education here in Tempe at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So I got to have my class and we did every subject, very proud, not only religion. We had math, we had reading out loud, we had everything. But the thing I always concentrated on was parents. Mm-hmm. And what I always ask parents is, and we know as parents, we can sit down with our child, and you did this, and what about this, and da da da. I say, concentrate and try this. And parents have come back to me, 15 minutes with your kid only saying positive. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, a lot of them told me after 5 minutes, if they got there, they were done.
Yep.
And I go, how sad is that you can sit for 20 minutes and you didn't park the car and you didn't wash this and you didn't do this and that, and your grandma was expecting this. And we just do that and do that. But we don't sit down and say, I really like how last week when you saw that I was and I really like when you do this. And I really, you know, wow, that was really great last week when your teacher called. I mean, where are those conversations?
Yeah, I love that idea. I saw something the other day where they were trying to encourage parents to invest, almost make a pledge to their kids that they would invest 4 hours with them of unscheduled time where the kids and the parents could create time just to be together, not to necessarily do anything. And this idea about investing in your kids, I love that. And then the positive thinking, I mean, it makes complete sense. And to your point, kind of forget about the basics.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it, and the basics, I mean, I don't know about you. I was excited to go to school. I would be sad when it was a Saturday and it wasn't just to see my friends but it was also the curiosity of what else are they going to teach me? What else are they going to show me? What else am I going to, what don't I know yet? And I don't know if that exists anymore.
I think the other thing that's underlying maybe a theme of everything we're talking about is this idea of being intentional. As I'm reflecting on some of the people that I know whose kids go to the same school as my child and people that I run with, and they think, Karen, God, you just are, and I think the same thing about you ladies. You're involved in so many things and you have so much to focus on and you're a parent too. How do you do it all? That's oftentimes the kind of the question, like that perseverance and that insistence. I think it's around being intentional and parenting, or even building a career, is you must be intentional about what result you want and where you want to go. And I think we overlook that. I see so many young adults who are incredible learners, great individuals, and they feel like opportunities for them are hard to get. And I think, well, again, shift your thinking, because if you believe that it's easy and you believe that you're deserving, you will find a way. But be intentional about your progress and your success. So just thought I'd put that out there, because it's kind of, it's not the elephant in the room, but it is a, kind of a theme, I think, that's underneath everything that we've been discussing.
Yeah. Right. And you have to recognize, I think we all do, that there are also now health issues that exist. Yes. And that are very important. I mean, mental health is just like if someone had cancer. It's just if someone had, you know, a backache. It's another form of disease that we need to treat in our education system. And our teachers need to help us and those that work at schools to identify those students that need extra. I mean, it was the third grade teacher who told my parents, I think you need to take her to the eye doctor. I don't think she's seen the board correctly. I was getting answers wrong. No clue. And yeah, I needed glasses.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, poof, the world took off. Mm-hmm. And so many times I think we're just, I want to say, pounding that gravel and hitting it that we're missing. Oh, wait, there's a stumbling block here. Oh, wait, you didn't sleep. You're not eating at home. You're not. There's other issues.
Yep. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. Me having two boys, 7 and 11. I mean, the one thing that's really clear is it really does take a village to raise your children. And I think, you know, you said something very, you know, direct. I mean, you have to be intentional about your children. You have to know the differences in their personalities. You know, for me personally, I have one child that loves school, one that hates it, but he loves baseball. Right. And so when you talk about that positive influence, you have to get an education. And so we have to figure out how to positively make this work for you. But everything that works for your brother may not work for you.
Right.
And so, you know, it's my responsibility for my children, but it's also my responsibility for other children like them. Let me share this story. Let me share my struggles that go on with my kids, because we're all in this together because they are our future. And so, you know, people forget about the village. Everybody wants to do everything by themselves. I'm going to put my kids in this bubble. No, that's not going to work. Right. They need to all be in the same bubble and work together. And that's what it's about. And that's, you know, those are the things that people need to be aware of as it comes to education and it comes to the future of our children.
It is hard, to your point. Mm-hmm. So I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, a boy and a girl, and it's hard to raise kids. And there are pressures. We talked about a little bit about them previously. And my kids go to a Spanish immersion school. And so the 4-year-old is psyched and is singing songs and so excited about being there. And the 2-year-old, she has started to look at me like, I have to keep going back here. I don't want to keep going back here. And so for us to really think about this commitment that we've made to being exposed to other cultures and being around different languages and having different experiences, we know that it's the right path. We think it's the right path. And we'll continue to push in that way. But to your point about, we call it team building. We have a lot of family team building. Some folks call that vacation or spending time together. We call it family team building. Yeah. That's right.
No, well, I remember when we used to have the family meetings and all the kids would be like, no. I'd be like, oh yeah, tonight's dinner is a family meeting. They would be like, oh, just don't talk. So it's going to
go quick. Yeah.
But you and I have, Joanne, have an opportunity to see everything that we've done to build great connections and kids who are great communicators, because now our kids are, well, at least a couple of mine are, but grown and out in the world. And people, it makes a difference for us when we have that family unit, as busy as we all are as working parents, when we can have a family meeting or an opportunity to just bring them together. I mean, like our big thing is playing board games at home, and you know, they don't always go well. our 11-year-old.
So you're not the cheating family as we are.
We're not, but I'm the losing player. Like, I never win Monopoly. Oh, I can't even, maybe once, but I get crushed in everything that we play. And when my son is on the losing end of things, he gets upset, he gets frustrated, because he's a fierce competitor. But what a great opportunity before he lands on the ball field, because he's a ball player as well. He's got to work those kinks out so that when he can stand on the field and he doesn't hit well, he's not going to throw a tantrum walking back to...
Well, in order to win, you got to know how to lose.
Exactly. That's right. So all those opportunities. I'd love to hear and I think Joanne was going to head that direction as well. I would love to hear about the roles that you play in your career. Curlyish Fro, can we start with that?
Yes.
What a great name for a blog and a website. So tell us.
Yeah.
Curlyish Fro.
Yes. So, you know, I have a, if you will, a professional day job where I work at a very large financial institution on the go 24/7. So I created Curlyish Fro because you said it earlier. People always ask, well, how do you do it all? Well, the reality is I don't do it all. I have a huge major support system. I have so many people around me, but I felt the need to just share some positive vibes. I mean, honestly, every day I could cry if I wanted to, but I don't because it's not my thing. So I needed some positive outlet. And that is why I created Curlyish Fro. And there's a whole part of my life when I, as you can see, I have a whole lot of curly hair, and that is why it's called Curlyish
Fro. She does have a curly fro.
Thank you. But I haven't always embraced that. And so, you know, most of my life growing up, I always had this straight hair because I was transforming into something that I truly wasn't. And it was something that society said that we should be, right? And so that is why I did what I did for all of those years. But as I got into my career, I became a mother. I was spending more time straightening my hair and focused on my hair than I was with my family or on my craft. And so that is the reason why I created Curlyish Fro, is just for women to truly be okay with their true authentic self, no matter what it is. If you have this big old head of curly hair, walk in the room and command the room like you would when it's straight. Or how about you just have a little positive encouragement for the day? I usually post daily quotes and things like that, just things for us to think about. And the other thing is you have to have faith in something bigger than yourself and faith in something bigger than a human being. Me personally, it's a God thing. And that's not for everyone, and that's okay. But I truly know that that is what gets me going every day. That's what keeps me going every day. And that is why I'm able to do the things that I can do for myself, for my family, and as well for the community.
Love it. I have yet to visit your blog, yeah. I love that it's positive, but I'm also sensing, since we've only had one other occasion to talk, it's real.
Yes.
It's authentic. It's when on the days that you feel like crying, do you give folks a glimpse of like today I could choose to cry?
Yeah. And usually it's more, I just cuss all the time. It's my normal.
I can't wait to visit. But it's being real, being
That's
real.
What
and
it
the
is.
Word authentic, I think, is
it's
overused.
Holding down the shift key and typing those copies.
I don't use the asterisk signs. I just type the word.
So it's real. It's about being real and finding the light and the beauty in life, as it relates to being human and being divine.
Yes, that's exactly it. And I have encouraged my kids as well to participate. So my 11-year-old has the best personality in regards to just social, right? He's just a social guy. And so as I was telling him, you're going to join me for my weekly videos. You're going to talk to me a little bit about your week, right? What went well, what didn't go so well. And it's not about me. It's about you and just life in general. And so as I'm telling him all this, he's like, oh, okay, I see what kind of blog you want. You want this inspirational blog, right? And so I'm like, yeah, you get it. You're 11 years old. So if you're an 11-year-old young man, you get it. And so that really reassured me why I do what I do. I have zero spare time, right? But I just do it because I know that there are people out there that sometimes just need to hear something positive.
And it fuels you though.
Yes.
It fuels you. It gives
absolutely.
You're filling your tank to say, okay, tomorrow when I want to cry, I just got to remember that I got to come do this. And
yes.
And it gets you going. So do you have one, Jenny? Do you have a go-to that you like to do that is just your, I know you mentioned when we walked in the meditation and introducing your children to meditation. So what else would you, is that something you do?
And yeah. Yeah. You know, the family is pretty active. So we've always been runners and triathletes and played tennis and did yoga. So I got a yoga certification many years ago. Mm. So I taught yoga for a while. And then I realized teaching others is great, but I actually need my own practice and to keep it selfishly for myself. And then the meditation. So the 4-year-old was with us in Sedona and I was trying to tell him about good energy and vortexes. So we were driving. And he said, I need to sit underneath a tree and stare at the rocks and feel the good energy. And I was like, what is happening? He totally listens. This is amazing.
Yeah. When you don't really think they're listening, they listen. Rules to
That's
know.
Right. So I have this great picture of him meditating and looking at the red rocks. And so, yeah, that's how we spend our time, really trying to embrace a healthy lifestyle and be active. And we hope that that'll rub off on the kids for sure. But that's my outlet. I wish I was creative in some way.
You are creative.
I'm not sure about that. My mom was always creative, but we've taken sports and kind of run with it.
And then Latasha said what she does in her day job. So did you want to share with us?
Oh, sure. So I am an attorney. I work for a company called US Foods. It's a large food distribution company. It's a national, international company. They're based out of Chicago. And then I oversee the legal work in the West region, which has just gotten larger as a result of a pretty significant acquisition. And so I'm doing day-to-day legal work on mergers and acquisition contracts, and some of that can be boring. And so doing the running helps me to stay refocused, right? And to have a little bit of outlet before I come home with the family and spend time there.
Oh, great. And so I guess the next question to go, is there really such a thing as work-life balance, ladies?
Oh, boo to that term.
Oh, I don't know. I wish I had a different term for that.
Blend. I think it's a blend.
I like that. When I was growing up, my mom always called it a car. Like, you had to have the four cars of whatever priorities you had in your life had to be grounded so that you could feel the balance. And so at different points in my life, they've changed. So sometimes it's my career has come first. Mm-hmm. And now the family comes first, and then this healthy lifestyle, and then curiosity. So I read a lot, and I spend a lot of time learning. Latasha knows this about wine and food. And so for whatever point in my life, we call it Project Me or this balanced car. And I'm not sure I have it right, but I definitely try.
Yeah. And for me, I think it's a prioritization, right? Mm-hmm. It is a matter of I claim my time. There are some things I just won't miss, or I'm not going to miss baseball games for work, right? So as Jenny said, you know, when I was working really, really hard on progression in my career and those types of things, maybe I would go to, you know, work a little bit longer than I normally would. But now I truly feel like I have come up with this reality of a prioritization. Hey, some days, I'm not going to go to work at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. I'm going to go after I take my kids to school. And so that's what fuels me, and that's what makes me feel good. And so there really isn't a such thing per se in my mind as balance. It's a prioritization. And honestly, you have to be really good at what you do, whatever that day job is, in order to be able to have that prioritization. You can't only go to work sometime, part-time, bring half of yourself to work and think that you can be a person that says, I'm going to prioritize. You have to be really real about who you are and what you bring to the table, and that's at home, that's at work, and wherever that is. So I just have a prioritization. I'm busy all the time. but
you love it that
way. Yeah, I do. I like it like that.
I think if I had it any other way, I'm not sure it would work, right? So it's this constant drive isn't the right word necessarily, but it's a go, right? Mm-hmm. I feel better when I'm moving and doing things and pushing things forward.
Yes.
I do have to say one thing about Latasha, and that she and I, we've mentioned at least three things that we do together. Mm-hmm. And so Latasha and I are a team in that regard. Yeah. So we lead fundraisers and we lead groups. And so Latasha and I really spend a lot of time figuring out how to best support each other too. So I travel a lot for work. Latasha travels a lot for work. And so we'll tell each other, I'm out this week. You got to take over. Yeah. And so we have created, I think, a team that allows us to volunteer in the community, be the best of each other as a result of figuring out how to work with each other.
Yeah, I agree with that. And just knowing each other's strengths, right? But yeah, that comes from relationship too, right? I can text or pick up the phone and say, Jenny, I dropped the ball in this and I need you to pick it up for me, right? And she's on it, or vice versa. Or if we need to tag team folks asking for money, then we do that too. But you have to, it has to be a team effort. Again, it is a collective whole of people around you that make you successful and make you who you are.
And you mentioned this about your family too, and that's how we handle as well. So I get told and with a day's notice that I need to go to Newark, which is where I'll be heading today. And so my husband, Colin, is incredible, and he just picks up and he helps to lead the family. And then we have other family members around and the godparents and again, friends and really team members like Latasha to help us be able to keep things kind of moving.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all the balls in there.
Absolutely.
And even though you put all these things into effort, let me just tell you, your kids, when they will get older, you never did that, Mom.
That's funny. That's true.
When did you ever do that, Mom? You never did that, Mom.
That's
you
never did that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's so funny because you think about it, you're like, no, I really did. But for whatever reason, that's, you know, out of their mind.
That's
it's
hilarious.
Gone. Yeah. You never did that. No, Dad was the one that was here,
yep.
You know, and you just sit there and you go, Okay, yeah. And you just walk away because yeah. now as they're older, it's not worth the argument. It's not worth the fight. You do see some turnaround. I mean, my oldest is going to be 31 this year. And a few years ago, we were talking to her about something. And she turns around to my husband. I said, so when did you and dad get smart?
Oh, that's good though.
So it's like, oh, somebody's growing up. Somebody's yeah.
So you'll appreciate this. I obviously running the studio, I don't have an occasion to get to help out in my son's classroom very often. But art masterpiece has been something that I've loved to do since I'm no longer in the schools. And this year he's in the fifth grade. And I thought, all right, well, this is my last opportunity before middle school to help at this capacity before he doesn't really want me to be hanging out. So I said to him, hey, I'm going to sign up for art masterpiece again. He gives me this look like, why? And no. And I said, what? You haven't enjoyed me teaching art masterpiece the last couple of years? Well, yeah, I mean, like he's trying to play the cool card, yeah. even though I know he loves having me there because I see it in his eyes, but he just doesn't let anybody know that. So I said, well, this is my last opportunity. I said, because next year when you're in middle school, your dad and I won't get to be teaching our masterpiece, but we will be chaperoning every dance.
That's right.
That went over really well. And, yeah. and I think he first had to wrap his brain around like, oh, there's dances in middle school. But even though we are busy, we've got to continue to make those moments for our kids. And for me, you know, it takes a couple hours only out of my month for preparation, but also presentation. But I love being back in the classroom. I love having an opportunity to be his mom and show up in that way. And even though he doesn't recognize it right now or tries to be the tough guy, I know that down the road, it's going to make a difference for how I showed up in his life, just like it has with my older two.
Well, and I think you bring out, too, one of the things, I have five keys to success. And one of the first one is whatever moment you're in, whether it's the moment of being the employee, the mom, the sister, the grandma, the shopper in the mall, whatever moment you're in, be your best in that moment. Absolutely. Be your best in that moment. And when you look at things that way, instead of just, I'm here to just do it. I'm showing up. Yeah. When you take an active role in trying to be, and it's not about being the best. Again, it's about being your best, whatever that is. That role takes on a different thing. And it really got hit clear. I'll never forget when my youngest was 3 years old and I was walking through the house or whatever, and he's talking to me, and he just grabbed my face and held on. Mom, mm-hmm. listen, like right now, I want you, whatever. I'm like, okay. I got it. I got it. Like, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And when you do things, you not only do you do it better, I believe, but it fills you. Mm-hmm. It fills you for whatever fuel or whatever you need. This morning at the East Valley Women's Meeting, one of the speakers who was speaking for us, she is a board member for the YWCA, Lisa, and I always, Keg Lenati.
Yes.
And she said, you know, how she was excited to be there. However, she said her word was perseverance. And the reason I bring this up is because she said last night at midnight, I got a phone call. Her son had totaled his car at college.
Oh, no.
She said, I got 4 hours of sleep. Now, would it have been easy for me to call the other speaker who was saying, said, you're going to have to take this alone. I've got to deal with this, da, da, da. But she said, no, I gave my commitment. I'm here and I'm going to be. And until she had told us that moment, you would have never known.
Yep.
Right. She was there to be, again, what I say, her best at being the featured, one of the featured speakers to present.
Yeah.
So I think if we can remember in those moments, because we all have those moments. Oh, yeah. There is no one, let me be very clear, living the perfect life.
No.
No one.
And if they are, take a peek behind the curtain because it's likely it's a facade.
Yeah. And not only the facade, but sometimes there's a happy pill involved. And God bless them if they have to take it and that's what takes them. But, and if you have to take them, God bless you. And I think you should be fantastic. But no, everybody has a challenge. Everybody has issues. You know, it's the same thing with that mystical force takes one sock out of the dryer every load.
Yeah. Where is that for?
I know.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, and there's sock land somewhere where they're all with this guy.
Seriously.
This guy. I'm not even putting this on a woman. This is a guy hanging all those up. And they're just all hanging there.
What is he doing with them?
Something incredible.
Right.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned your keys to success. And I've been meaning to ask you this. There's one other key, and I'm pretty sure it fits into this framework of yours. becoming more failure tolerant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I've got to say, I think of Joanne all the time. I've heard her use that phrase several times, and it's so perfect. We did our core values not too long ago with Business Radio X, and that became one of our core values. So I'm asking permission as I'm saying this, because it's so important being able to make mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. We can only move forward as to the degree that we're willing to make mistakes along the way. In fact, this morning, Jody Lowe with UN Improved and I did this live stream about this event we've got coming up, or she has coming up on Thursday. And I don't do many live streams. And I thought, oh my gosh, the first one was somebody who's, you know, in my circle that has a wide reach. All right, well, we're just going to go for it. And it wasn't crisp. It wasn't clean. It was a little chunky and clunky. But I thought of you, Joanne, because it was really around stepping out there and playing in a space that maybe I'm not used to and being okay with kind of making mistakes along the way so I can learn and grow. So just putting it out there and asking permission for that, for use of that term.
Yeah, being more failure tolerant to me is one of the most important lessons because, again, like we talked about, you can't win. You can't really win at something unless you've really lost at something.
That's right.
You know, and believing that, you know, especially like, you know, starting out your career and believing that's the job I really want. That's the job I really want. And you don't get it.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, what? What happened? That was the job I wanted.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. But then you realize the job that you do get, that was really the one you were supposed to have. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people, be very careful about trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. It is not going to turn out the way you believe it's going to turn out. And going back to education, I think sometimes we have to tell our kids that it's okay. It's okay for you to be square. Mm-hmm. It's okay for you to have the round hole. And now how do you figure out how do you make yourself fit? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to slim this off or trim this off or duck a little lower or move over to the side or change this or grab somebody. Hey, if there's two squares, how do we make a circle? Like, how do we become round? Oh, if you bend at your corners and I bend at my corners, we're now round. We can fit in the hole.
Yeah.
So there's so many different ways. And I think failure, being more failure tolerant. I mean, think about the discoveries that took years. I mean, how many years have we done cancer research? Mm-hmm. How many years have, I mean, this gone on and on? And yes, every time is better. Every step gets us closer. But without all those failures that they had prior to that, we wouldn't be to where we are. So with that, ladies, talk a little bit about, I know we none of us like that whole work-life balance. So
we're moving on. No.
Yeah. Yeah, we're out of balance.
Priorities.
Yeah, priorities.
Yeah, my tires are not touching.
Yeah. No, and I think that is, though, for so many people, they always say, oh, you look like you have it sewed together. Hmm. Talk a little bit about that, about sewed. What does that mean? You look like you have it sewed together. What does that mean?
Yeah, you know what's so funny? I was actually, my new thing, I don't look at people's Facebook. So I post to Facebook specifically for my dad. I was mentioning that my dad does not post his own pictures, so he needs me to do it for him. So whenever we visit with him, we take pictures and post. And I don't like looking at other posts because I do think it doesn't give reality. And it makes you wonder, it makes me wonder, what am I missing? What am I doing wrong? Why does that person have it all pulled together? Their kids look perfect in every picture. Their hair is done in every picture. Why do they look so thin and pulled together with these beautiful outfits? And I think that is a bar that I may never reach. And so having that be the bar doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. So, and I thought about, you know, in order for me to stay positive and try to do the best I can is to continue to say I'm doing the best that I can and that I'm not perfect and to be grounded in that and to surround myself by incredible people who remind me about why I am me and that I don't have to hold a bar to a standard that's not reachable for me. So at this point in my life, I'm trying to be more realistic about what perfect is and what I can reasonably accomplish and how I can present myself. And now, no doubt, I will always try hard. I will always be, I hope, professional. I will be an incredible supporter of women. I'm always going to be great. You know, I have standards, but a perfect standard probably isn't reachable for me. And I'm going to stay grounded to that.
Personal best is what I hear you say. plan, right? Yeah. It's not about other people.
Yeah.
Latasha, what about you, Latasha?
Yeah, I'm very similar. You know, I always wonder when people say that, like, what does that really mean? Like, seriously, because it's almost like beauty, right? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. Success is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. Perfect is in the eye of the beholder. And so when people tell me that, you know, so that is also another reason why I went out to do that blog, is because I'm like, yeah, I might dress cute. That's just because I like it, right? I just like to look like this. I mean, that's what fuels me. I love clothes and I love fashion, love everything about that. But as soon as I open my mouth, you know, you have no idea how long it took me to pull myself together in the morning, or how many curse words I said in the morning, right? Just to get to where I am to show up, right? And so I never really, when people say that to me, I never say that, because like, we all have it together some kind of way, right? Because we're here. We made it, right? We made it to our we made it to our destination. And so when people say that, I just kind of do the Joanne. I just kind of smile and laugh, right? And I never respond. Because it's
everything doesn't need an answer. Everything does not need an answer.
It does not need an answer.
Listening sometimes is one of the most powerful tools, that you just say, you know, and if it's their world, who are you to, say poop on it.
That's right.
You know, if that's what their belief, you know, God bless you.
Yes.
If it works for you and it winds you up and sets your clock off, not the way I see it, but that's okay. And
that's right.
You know, and it's not my world to judge you or to offer my opinion or a thing. You've made a statement. Great.
Yeah.
And you just smile and walk away. That is the best thing. I'll tell you, I've been doing that a lot lately.
that's a learning experience,
that
by
alone
the way.
Is like, I'm a gabber. I like to talk a lot and I love to be out in front. I love to lead. I love to teach. And I am definitely learning to sit back more and more and be more mindful about when to speak, when to share, and not have to have all the answers all the time.
That's right.
Right. And it's cool to kind of say, you know, in a meeting when it does turn to you because you're the only one who hasn't spoken, and they say, well, what do you think? And I answer, I'm still thinking. Mm-hmm. Because here's the one thing you better figure out. I'm not giving you the answer.
Yeah.
I'm not saying my answer. And two, I really don't know. I've heard and collected a lot of information. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's my space. And you know, if you want me to follow up, I'll follow up. Well, guess what? Sometimes that follow up question is, I'm still thinking.
Yeah.
Love it.
You know, so it is. Anything that you two want to share about anything, community involvement, your family, your faith, you know, and let's talk a little bit about faith, because I know you talked about meditation, spirituality, you talked about, does it play a role in your life? And if
Absolutely.
So, what does it play?
Yeah, absolutely. It plays everything. So so interesting. I actually met my husband at ASU when I was 19 years old. And our connection point was, he had moved here from Las Vegas, and his dad is a pastor. And he told me, I can't find a church here. And so, I mean, I hold 19 years old. I'm like, what? You're coming to church with me. And so our whole relationship, our whole foundation of who we are has built, just because of how we were raised, but as well of our relationship has been built on faith, and just built on all the blessings that we have had. And so that is everything for me. I know that when things are stressful, I know that because we are not perfect, and I know when things are not going quite right in regards to our decisions, with just life in general, children, things like that, we go to prayer. Right. That's where we go. Our kids, every day they have a ritual. We're grateful every day when we wake up. Right. Our kids pray on the way to school. They pray when they wake up. They pray when they go to bed. It's just who they are at 7 and 11. And so they know that. And that's who we are. And so, you know, it makes a whole lot of things much easier to deal with when you have faith in something.
Have you had the sleepover yet where the child comes home? Mom, they didn't pray. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do.
Yes.
I'm like, what? And I was like, I mean, and it's so funny because they ran through the door to like wake me up in the morning. Like, do I say three prayers today? Like,
they didn't know. Have to go extra.
Yeah. Like what? And I said, well, what do you think's good in your heart? What did you do last night? You laid down a prayer. And they said, well, I did tell God, I'm thinking of you.
Cute.
But they didn't
want that.
And I said, you know, and it's something that a nun said a long time ago, it, as far as faith. And she said, you know, I wish more young, and she's talking to a group of women, and she said, I just wish more girls, before they had that intimate moment and take off their clothes, mm-hmm. with someone, because in our faith, that's the biggest gift you can give, that they would ask this partner of theirs, whoever it is, will you kneel down and pray with me?
Mm-hmm.
because her feeling was there was nothing greater than to see their soul than to see a naked body, she mm-hmm. said. And she said, based on that reaction, you can decide, is this the person I want to be with?
That's right.
I mean, and there may be some people that just say, hey, that's cool. If you want to do it, go ahead. Yeah. I'll wait right here. And I'll be really happy. Or there may be people that get undone, or there may be people, you're nuts, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she always said to us, think about that. Mm-hmm. Think about what would that reaction, and based on that reaction, is this the person that you would want to do that next step with? Yeah. And I was like, well, you ruined that moment. Where was the Love American style from the 70s with the fireworks and everything like that? But it is. And I think faith plays in everyone's lives a different role. And Jenny, you talk about meditation, you talk about things.
Yeah. I mean, my experience is a little bit different in that this idea of culture and different experience is really important to our family. And so Colin and I have had unique and not the greatest experiences recently with organized religion. Mm-hmm. And so this idea about spirituality and finding peace and learning from others is the theme that we have and want to raise the kids with. So we actually go to a Unitarian church, which incorporates all of the religions. And so we love that, in that you're getting pieces of Islam and pieces of Christianity and Buddhism, and that fits our family. And so it's nice to have found a place that works for us at this point. And so, you know, the meditation and being grateful and saying thank you to the world each day is a really important part of our lives. So it's fun to sit with Connor. I lay with him each night before we go to bed, and we talk about the peak and the pit of the day, and then the thing that you're most grateful for. And so it has been fun to listen to him talk about, oh, I got Legos today, or I went to the bathroom by myself today, or I learned how to say a Spanish word today. Two, I really made a great friend today, Mom, and this is the reason why. So he's becoming more grateful about
a thoughtful
broader
process,
so it's been a really fun experience for us.
I love that. Yeah,
that's great. And Karen?
So grew up Catholic, as you know, and have always felt a deep connection to God. Also had a little bit of a change and shift as it relates to organized religion, probably about 15, 20 years ago, and have continued to strengthen my faith in an individual way. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks will say, hey, so what church do you go to? And I'll say, you know, we're not attending church right now. And depending on who I'm speaking to, some people are like instantly making a judgment and a decision about who we are as a family and who I am as an individual. And that used to kind of bother me. I used to go home thinking, gosh, well, maybe I need to find a church to become part of again. And there might be room for that in my life down the road. But right now, my spirituality, my divinity is a very private as well as vocal piece of me. It just is, it's individually me. And it's expressed, as you pointed out, Jenny, through my love and my appreciation and my service.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's what I love about Ladies Leadership Circle is the fact is there's four of us sitting here, mm-hmm. which are all very interconnected, whether it be community, but all individuals and but all respect. Like I respect the way, because my faith says you can do whatever you want to do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, God bless you and hope it works out and everything. And the same thing with the universe, mm-hmm. because guess what? On Judgment Day, I'm not part of that one-on-one conversation.
Yeah,
I get no say. You're not seeing my review. And your
right,
work.
And I'm not seeing yours.
Right, right. So, and people just remember, it's just at one point we were all on the mountain together.
Yes.
All of us.
Yeah.
As one.
We really are connected. It's fascinating how easily I think we forget that. We get in our own little worlds. We get so busy and we focus on what we think we need to achieve next or who
That's
we
right.
need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if we continue to be intentional, again, to bring it back to that around, we are all one, regardless of the religion, regardless of upbringing, socioeconomic status,
and political,
race, political, whatever our affiliations are, whatever we relate to, if we can look through the lens at somebody else who might look and sound and appear very different from us, mm-hmm. we're going to find a common thread bring us back to, again, being whole again.
Okay. Well, and I think right now that's so important, what we're seeing in the world and for our children and your children to identify that the differences are a lot smaller than what we all have in common. Mm-hmm. We all need to breathe air to live.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. let's we all need water to drink. Okay, those are pretty simple. You know, it comes down to the bread, water, why? Oh, gee, where did I hear this one before?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what book was that in? You know, so it does come back to very simple things that if we just focused on positive and making good instead of calling names or making someone feel they already it, trust me, when you make a poor decision, you don't need anyone to remind you you made a poor decision.
That's right.
You know, poor decision, got it done. Hopefully I won't repeat that. Mm-hmm. So instead of being that person of, you know, again, a smile, I think you said it best, Karen, the smallest things, a smile can change someone's life.
Can change their whole life.
Yep. You know, a hello. Mm-hmm. A hello can be, you know, as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it could be somebody said hello to me, mom, today.
Yep.
Somebody I didn't know said hello. How simple of that instead of these angry things that are just taking over.
Yeah.
You know, and I think right now, do you talk to your children about what's happening in the world today?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and my kids are a little older than Jenny's, which I'm sure your 4-year-old is probably. But the thing that I talk to them the most about is just being aware of what is going on in the world. The biggest thing right now, obviously, is bullying. Right? And the things that I tell my kids is that, you know, you will never get in trouble for fighting the bully. You will always get in trouble for being the bully. And they have to be really clear about making a difference in someone's life. I always tell them you have to say good morning. I don't care if you have a conversation, just say hi. Right. And I always tell
everyone.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, with both of my kids, you know, I'll go to the school on the rare occasions that I go to the school as a working mom. And
they didn't recognize me either.
They never recognized me.
It was fine.
But the best part is I will always hear from other parents, other moms. They'll say, oh, you're Sullivan's mom or you're Mason. Sense, mom. Oh, he's so sweet. He talked to my shy child. And, you know, they have these kids that will come to their birthday parties that have no other friends. And so I know that we're doing something a little bit right about awareness.
That's great.
Yeah. So we tell Connor and Maddie that they have to be strong and smart and kind when they go to school. And so yesterday Connor said, I'm so nice to everybody in the school. And I said, oh, that's so great. And today I observed him when he walked into the classroom, give hugs to probably 5 or 6 different kids and 5 or 6 different teachers. And he's just full of life. And so to your point about doing something right, when you want them to give someone a little light in their day, that is important to us. In terms of the day-to-day and what they know about, so we watch the news every morning and we talk about appropriate news for the kids, right? So if there are car crashes and shootings and the violence on TV, we try not to do that, but more global issues, right? So he knows about earthquakes and the earthquake in Hawaii, or he'll ask questions about the fires. And so there are things about the world that they should start learning about. And then we have really good conversations. He asks the best questions.
Yes, those are those are great, and enjoy those now, because let me tell you, for some reason, they don't remember that you were ever there. You never
I've
had
been
that
reminded
mother.
About that a few times. Yeah.
I now have pictures to prove it. See, we were in Paris at the Louvre. There you were. Sorry you can't remember, but you know, my goodness. Well, ladies, before I would be remiss if I didn't shout out to our Charter 100 fellow members, because I know Latasha's a new Charter 100 member.
Yes, congratulations.
And Jenny as well. And thank you. So, Karen, is there anything else you want to add before I say the closing?
No, let's just make sure that our listeners know how to find both of you out there in the World Wide Web. What's the best way to get a hold of either
your
one
blog?
Of you?
Yes. So for me, it's my blog, and it's www.curlyishfro.com, and on Instagram as well at curlyishfro.
Great.
And I can be found on LinkedIn at Jenny Holzman Tatro.
Great. Wonderful. Well, I want to say thank you for listening to Ladies Leadership Circle. We could have gone on for another 6 hours and would have loved it. This is in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio and Business Radio X, as we hope today's show connected, inspired, and lead you to continue to be and do your best. Thank you, Karen Nowicki. I'm Joanne Holland. Make it a great day.
Thank you.